Welcome to Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation's Podcast Pro, an occasional podcast series aimed at professionals, where we discuss the results of research projects, training needs, the challenges of continuing professional development, and insights from patients and healthcare professionals. In this edition, we're looking at the latest report from the IDEAL Advisory Group on Foot Care for People Living with Diabetes, and its recommendations for encouraging self-referral and early intervention from multidisciplinary teams to reduce the number of amputations in the UK, potentially by up to 50%.
There are loads of guidelines, but they don't happen. Our goal is to ensure that best practice gets delivered.
We've got to think about accessibility of services for people so they don't delay going and seeking specialist help.
Foot problem has always been expensive. It has a very high cost. It has a human cost and a human burden. It's actually a pandemic in itself, and it's something that we've known for a very long time.
The team approach, in my experience, people tend to do better because you can signpost people very quickly to facilitate a good outcome.
I do feel strongly that this ACT NOW acronym is particularly helpful because I think it's simple, it's straightforward, it tells us what to do.
Do you know what? I think this is an area where practice nurses are not feeling very confident. So I think that really does raise the question of whether the current training is fit for purpose, really.
80% of the major amputations in diabetes follow ulcers and therefore can be prevented.
You're listening to DRWF's Podcast Pro.
I'm Claire Levy from DRWF, and to help me explore some of the key results and recommendations of this IDEAL report, I've been talking to the researchers and diabetes healthcare professionals involved. The report highlights that up to half of amputations resulting from diabetes-related complications could be avoided through early intervention. It's currently estimated that the NHS spends around £1 billion a year on these treatments. Current data sees a big variation across the country in the level of amputations, which has been described as a postcode lottery for patients. The main recommendation centred around educating people living with diabetes and healthcare professionals to refer urgently for rapid access to multidisciplinary foot care teams, as recommended by NICE. 17% of teams have not yet embraced a multidisciplinary approach. Plus, good foot care regimes to prevent ulcers occurring and to avoid foot injury risks. To raise awareness, a new mnemonic has been devised, ACT NOW. In addition, the work has highlighted a shortage of podiatrists, which has been linked to the withdrawal of bursaries to fund relevant university courses. The IDEAL initials refer to Insights for Diabetes, Excellence, Access and Learning. The organisation was established to review current practice across the NHS. It aims to improve care pathways for people with diabetes in four key areas. To create robust KPIs to measure outcomes by healthcare providers and service users. Provide and share models of best practice to reduce variations in outcomes. Increase access, availability and uptake of structured diabetes education to support individualised self-management. And optimise blood glucose management with access to high-quality BGM technology and expert support for interpretation and action. The advisory group comprises multidisciplinary diabetes specialists with a keen interest in improving diabetes care outcomes across the UK. I asked IDEAL Chair John Grummet to outline their objectives.
The IDEAL group is a bunch of stakeholders representing all the people across the diabetes care pathways and patients who have come together to address what we believe to be a fundamental gap in that there are loads of guidelines, but they don't happen. And our goal is to change that to ensure that best practice actually gets delivered. And we're going to do that by bringing together the various stakeholder groups and get them to consistently accept, endorse, spread what is best practice.
And it's a group of multidisciplinary diabetes specialists.
And patients.
So that's a difference as well, isn't it?
Yeah. So we've brought people together from leading clinicians in secondary care, primary care, and community care, pharmacy, technology, psychology, commissioning, to bring those things together so that you don't, for example, have someone in secondary, a specialist writing a paper about something that happens in specialist care, which isn't then properly adopted because, for example, primary care haven't been involved, aren't engaged in it, or indeed community care. And just as an example of that, foot care is a classic of that. So with our recent foot care paper, we brought together one of the leading secondary care activists. We brought together people in primary care, PCDS and such like, and we brought together patient advocates, and we pulled the whole thing together. I suppose the other thing is that we've brought together colleges, NHS England, stakeholder groups like PCDS, the DSN forum, various things like that. So we're agnostic. We're not loyal to any one particular stakeholder or group. What we care about is patient outcomes and through effective working.
Before we hear from those involved with this report, we recently talked to a patient who has experienced amputations in the DRWF podcast, Living with Diabetes. Andrew described his experience.
Because I've lost my eyesight quite drastically, and I've lost my toes. But you can go a lot further. You can end up losing your legs, and that's all diabetes.
Mm.
It happened because I actually was having problems with my feet. I was a bit naive. It became a little bit infected, but I left it. Melanie said, that don't look so good. Right, it'll cure. It'll go away. It's first problems I'd really had with them. And I left it a couple of weeks and it went quite septic. So I went to my doctors and they had a look at it and they referred me to the foot clinic. And it basically went wrong. I got gangrene in it. That was the toe I had on from my left foot. So I become a little bit wiser after that, but then I got an infection on my right foot on the big toe, next to my big toe again, and it went wrong again. You've got to be very careful, to be fair. It's things in the past where if I'd got a cut on my foot, I wouldn't have even thought twice about it. And then later on, you get your diabetes, these things happen and I suppose that is one thing that really does need drilling into diabetics, is your feet, because it caught me unawares how drastically it can change. Come from going through a little scab, an infection, all of a sudden I'm losing that toe, I ended up losing the toe next to it, and plus you're limited in what you can do, so I'll go as long as I can.
Professor Mike Edmonds is a consultant diabetologist at King's College Hospital, working in the foot clinic which he founded back in 1981. I asked him why people like Andrew, who are living with diabetes, are so susceptible to foot health problems, ulceration and high risk of amputation.
The high blood sugar as part of diabetes damages the nerves in the feet. They become numb and susceptible to trauma, and that leads to a break in the skin and ulceration. The high sugar also damages the arteries. So once a person living with diabetes has a break in the skin. It's sometimes difficult to get that healed because of the reduced blood supply from the diseased artery. And finally, the high sugar related to diabetes damages what we call the immune system, the ability to fight infection, and therefore the break in the skin becomes very susceptible to invasion from bacteria, and this leads to infection. The bacteria themselves can also damage the vessels, and this leads to gangrene. But the overall problem leading to ulceration is the damage to the nerves, which we call neuropathy, and damage to the vessels, mainly the so-called large vessels of the legs and feet. Why is it an issue? Well, there are two reasons. Firstly, as long as a person living with diabetes has an ulcer, a break in the skin, that person is susceptible to bacteria invading the foot, leading to infection, and leading to gangrene and the risk of amputation. Secondly, it's unpleasant to have a weeping sore on any part of your body, including the foot, with discharging liquid, you needing frequent dressings, maybe an unpleasant odor, the need to go to clinics. When is this also going to heal? That's often the question we hear. So this leads to a reduction in the quality of life of people living with diabetes, and therefore it's also is a very important problem. I'm afraid also the problem of speed, and we can say colloquially that a person living with diabetes can have an intact foot on a Monday, can develop a break in the skin on Tuesday, have an infection on Wednesday, develop gangrene on a Thursday, and lose their leg to a major amputation on a Friday. This is the speed with which things can deteriorate, and this defeats every healthcare system in the world.
Pharmacist Charles Odiasse, a consultant pharmacist for family care and diabetes, sees these issues on a daily basis.
Food problem has always been expensive. It has a very high cost. It has a human cost and a human burden factor to it. It's something that's been well known without having to coin the word. It's actually a pandemic in itself, and it's something that we've known for a very long time. So for me, I think the solution is that we need to actually embrace it and actually make more effort to reduce it. And some examples of things we can do is to involve people in the pathway of managing diabetes and food problems. So thinking about involving the community pharmacist as the first point of contact in encouraging people living with diabetes to look after their feet, check their feet regularly, and even checking the feet for themselves. It's also getting people in general practice, making sure everyone within general practice can check a diabetes person's feet, and also making sure that they have access to refer to the specialist services, so the food protection agencies and to the podiatry services actually made a lot more streamlined and a lot more easier.
And so can you just give us some idea about what delay would mean?
So, as you can imagine, as I said, foot care is a big problem, and delay means that every moment in which we delay referring to someone living with diabetes that has a foot problem means that foot keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So the major concerns are things like foot ulcers. So the time between when a person has an injury on the feet or on foot, and between that time and them actually getting a foot ulcer is very short. And we know that because of the complication that comes with diabetes. We know that if you have poor blood perfusion to the feet, if you also have issues with sensitivity with the feet, then obviously these things become a very high risk situation where you could actually get an injury, develop a foot ulcer even before the person living with diabetes identifies the injury of the foot ulcer. So having quick access and having quick review of any problem with the feet for someone living with diabetes is essential to manage that time gap between developing a minor simple injury which now develops into a foot ulcer.
And you talked there about people using their pharmacies for consultation. How would that work?
So, as I said, we all know that the community pharmacy has the highest and the best access to people living with diabetes and the general public at large. So, again, we offer prescriptions to people living with diabetes on a regular basis, on average, every 2 months. So at least the community pharmacy or the member of the staff will see someone with diabetes every 2 months. We also had last year the 2019 and 2020 pharmacy quality scheme, which is the quality scheme, the equivalent to QoF of primary care, is the quality scheme for community pharmacy. And part of that scheme between October and February 2019 and 2020 was asking people who have had a foot check. And although we're yet to receive the data on that, we do know that a lot of people in community pharmacy were able to access patients for foot check that we didn't even have access to in general practice. So there's no denying the contact frequency between people living with diabetes and community pharmacy. But yes, we believe that if that is changed into a service in itself, a national service, if that's actually promoted and people community pharmacy encourage and giving access to refer people into the foot care services directly, then a couple of things will happen. One, people coming living with diabetes will be able to have their foot check at the community pharmacy. And again, when we say foot check, it's a quick check just to make sure there's no problem with the foot. And again, they could use tools like the ones that we've created from Ideal, which is the Act Now tool, to just make sure there's no problem with that. Two, they'll be able to refer people with complex foot problems directly into the Food Protection Agency or directly to the podiatry without having to have that delay between asking the person living with diabetes to contact their GP to get seen, to get referred. All of that delay becomes is taken away and the system becomes more streamlined, which actually offers people living with diabetes a faster and better review of their foot problems.
Anne Phillips is an associate professor in diabetes care working at Birmingham City University and also has an honorary contract with the United Hospitals Trust in Birmingham. She emphasised the need for rapid self-referral.
One of the things that we've highlighted as ideal and through the research work we've been undertaking, particularly with Professor Mike Edmonds, is to try and smooth the referral system to ensure people who have had previous ulcerations can access care and self-refer without having to go and have untimely delays. In particular, at the moment, with services being different because of the virus, we've got to think about accessibility of services for people so they don't delay going and seeking specialist help, and we can escalate care, in particular for the most vulnerable in our society and people who might be dependent on social care or district nursing services, and ensure that a clear pathway of care that's speedy can help people if they are in need to save lives and also save limbs.
What do the NICE guidelines say?
The NICE guidelines are very much about early referral to a multidisciplinary foot care team. But over the years, we've found that not every hospital has access to a multidisciplinary foot care team. And these are things that we want to be established and linked in every NHS trust. Because we need to ensure that the right care is there at the right time for the right person. And if NICE is a guideline, but it is recommending the establishment and the creation of multidisciplinary foot care teams, then we need to try and enhance our NHS by ensuring that they are available and funded.
Although NICE recommends a multidisciplinary approach, this is not available everywhere, as Professor Mike Edmonds explains.
Once a person living with diabetes has developed a break in the skin of the foot and thereby ulceration, it is very important to get that ulcer healed as quickly as possible. To do this efficiently, one needs various skills which are not ensconced in one particular healthcare professional discipline. We need the combined skills of the podiatrist, the nurse, the diabetologist, the surgeon, be it a vascular surgeon, orthopedic surgeon, an orthotist, and radiologist to help improve the circulation. And it may be that that people will need a special cast to protect the foot and relieve pressure whilst the foot is healing. So one's got to coalesce the skills of all these disciplines into a specific environment which is easily available to people living with diabetes. And that is the essence of the multidisciplinary foot clinic, so-called MDTs. These clinics have been shown to reduce the number of major amputations in diabetes. And it's extremely important that people living with diabetes who develop a problem have rapid and easy access to these clinics. As to the number, at the last National Diabetes Inpatient Audit, 17% of hospitals audited that did not have a multidisciplinary diabetic foot clinic. So that's about a sixth of the hospitals not having a specialized clinic for these particular problems. NICE has stipulated that there should be a multidisciplinary diabetic foot clinic as the main center of care. This should receive people with diabetes who have emergency problems, have ulcers which are infected, have poor circulation, have feet which are changing in shape rapidly, and stipulated that these people should be referred within 24 hours to the multidisciplinary clinic, and that the multidisciplinary clinic should triage, assess this referral within another 24 hours and review and see the person with the specific problem. NICE has also stipulated that the commissioners should make sure that there is a education system for healthcare professionals to be able to efficiently assess the feet of people with diabetes, and that there should be a pathway for people with diabetes and an urgent foot problem to get to the multidisciplinary foot clinic. And thirdly, there should be a pathway for people who have been noted to have nerve damage and damage to their vessels, for these people to be referred to a podiatrist within a foot protection system to receive preventative care and hopefully to avoid even having an ulceration at all.
Jane Robbie is a senior podiatrist at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham and has first-hand experience of the effectiveness of multidisciplinary teams.
I'm fortunate I work in a multidisciplinary team. I'm fortunate that I have a really good wraparound here. I think the team approach, in my experience, and I've worked as a sort of solo practitioner, and I've worked in hospital teams, and I've worked in community units. And wherever you have that team approach, in my experience, people tend to do better because you can signpost people very quickly to colleagues who are skilled and able to provide a bit more wraparound care to facilitate a good outcome. So, for example, here in the hospital, we do a multidisciplinary outpatient. So we have diabetologist who looks at diabetes control and optimising diabetes control and those medical decisions around the foot, so around antibiotic cover and around the sort of wound healing, and he'll signpost people on to his surgical colleagues. So we have a vascular surgeon who attends the clinic, who will then look at those circulatory problems, and he is able then to facilitate rapid vascular interventions, so appropriate scans and investigations. Both of the medics are able to interpret lab results and make decisions on lab results and x-rays very quickly, which means that the patient has a one-stop shop. They are able to have good podiatry care, referrals into community podiatry or community nursing. We've trialled having a diabetes specialist in the clinic to again look at optimising blood sugar control and educating patients and people living with diabetes and their carers about the other aspects of diabetes care. So what to do if they have a hypo, and it's been quite eye-opening for us to know how many people who have been diabetic for quite a while, how many of them don't accurately know how to treat a hypo. And particularly on the back of some of the changes to sugary drinks with the sugar taxes, you know, where sugary drinks had their sugar content reduced, that they need to drink more of the drink than they perhaps thought they needed to have, or they need to have more jelly babies, or a different number of dextrose tablets, and the number of patients who thought, oh, it's fine, I'll just have a chocolate biscuit. So it's been a real eye opener in the team to be able to have that ability to just see what everybody does and know what everybody does, and to know that if I've got a problem with this, I have a colleague who can assist me.
Charles Odiasse emphasised the importance of ensuring access to multidisciplinary teams for everyone.
When it comes to food problems, we have a lot of complex things that needs to be reviewed, not just from the diabetes perspective, not just from the podiatry perspective, but even from the orthopedic perspective. So there are multiple things that needs to be considered. And when it comes to the multidisciplinary food team, it's essential that those services exist across the nation. And that is to ensure that the person living with diabetes that has a food problem does not have a delay between referral from one specialist service to another specialist service, but actually has everybody that needs to be involved in that food situation there and then, reviewing the food and making sure that we are saving time, saving feet.
Anne Phillips says this also highlights the need for good education of healthcare professionals.
I think this is all very much based on education. Mm. It's very much based on having an informed healthcare professional education, but it's also very much based on the knowledge and application of that education. And we can't expect, if a healthcare professional hasn't received that education, to really realise the urgency of what they might be dealing with. So it's us as healthcare professionals and specialist practitioners in diabetes care and educationalists that need to ensure that this education is available, it is shared, it is engaged with, and so people with diabetes don't miss out on essential aspects of care. And as you know, I work in education, so one of my passions is to make sure that every healthcare practitioner has the support available, accessible education, and also that it's evidence-based and efficacious.
And what is ACT Now? How is it similar to other campaigns with public messaging?
ACT Now was very much designed by an acronym for an assessment tool that we want to be available in every general practice. We want to be available in every nursing home, every district nurse to have access to this, and every practitioner who might be in contact with people with diabetes and undertaking foot care assessments. We want to ensure that there is a really clear and easy way to assess that's underpinned by education and support, but then that referral criteria can be shared with the acute specialist team when it is required to do so. So easy referral with the documentation that's standardised is there.
We want the acronym ACT Now to be the propulsion for a national campaign to alert people living with diabetes if they have a problem, and provoke them, as it were, encourage them to seek help. So it's ACT Now. A is for accident. That is that the patient may have had a minor accident, very minor, a trip or a trauma, which has led to a break in the skin. C is for change. That's change of colour or change of shape in the foot. If the foot becomes red, that's indication of inflammation, and that may be related to infection. T is for temperature, and one must be aware of a raised temperature, a hot foot, which is again signifying infection, or else another condition, a condition of bone and joint disruption, which we call the Charcot foot. N is for new pain. People living with diabetes, having neuropathy, may have numb feet and may not feel pain. But if they suddenly do feel pain, which has broken through the, as it were, the numbness, then that is an indicator particularly of infection. And O is for ooze. That's for ooze from a wound, a discharge from a wound. And W is for having developed a wound or ulcer itself. So this is ACT Now. And if people with diabetes are aware of any of these changes, they should seek help. And the stipulation or advice from the ideal group is that people who have a positive response to this ACT Now should get help and should be able to refer themselves to the multidisciplinary diabetic foot clinic. They should not need to go through another healthcare professional who then has to refer them to the multidisciplinary foot clinic. Time is of the essence, and the more people that are involved in the referral pathway, the greater the delay. So the ideal group are putting forward that people living with diabetes, they notice a problem, should be able to refer themselves to the multidisciplinary diabetic foot clinic.
Dr. Patrick Holmes is a GP partner in Darlington and the CCG diabetes lead for Tees Valley, and welcomes the new ACT Now mnemonic.
I do feel strongly that this ACT Now acronym is particularly helpful, because I think it's simple, it's straightforward, it tells us what to do. And this was created by healthcare professionals and people living with diabetes. So I think it, It's a simple statement which instructs both the person living with diabetes and the healthcare professional to indeed do something straight away. And that, so I think it's quite useful. So it does need to be ground into people so that it's imprinted on their brains when they see someone with foot disease. But I think it reminds us that we do need to be doing something quickly. Why is it that things been unsuccessful in the past? There are, particularly in primary care, and you know, there's a lot of things for us to take on board. Increasingly, conditions like diabetes seem to be become more of a specialist thing within general practice, and so not all healthcare practitioners are necessarily fully comfortable with diabetes, and therefore expect others to be taking this burden on. As we increasingly work part-time, there are further barriers in terms of accessing that, so their chosen doctor or nurse may not be working that day. In addition to that, we know multidisciplinary foot clinics should be in every locality. Fortunately, they are in my locality, but they're not everywhere. Even in my CCG, we're still trying to develop services in some areas which aren't as well served as others. So it's a whole system approach, and in particular, I think patients or people living with diabetes, I should say, but people who are living with diabetes have not fully understood the importance of their diabetic foot disease. I suspect a lot of that is regarding education. It's also worth bearing in mind a fair number of people who develop this foot disease have had diabetes for many years. There are often a neuropathic component, so damaged nerves, and that damaged nerves can also be in their brain. So, you know, sometimes people's cognitive functions are impaired when they've had long-standing diabetes. So it shows the importance of education really from the get-go, rather than waiting until they've already got, let's say, a medium or high-risk foot, where perhaps they are given that information. But, you know, we need to be doing this really from, you know, as part of their annual care reviews or their regular reviews.
Dr. Patrick Holmes. The IDEAL report clearly sets out the value of improved patient and healthcare professional awareness of foot health and the need for rapid referral to multidisciplinary teams. Professor Edmonds highlights the huge reduction that could be achieved by implementing their recommendations.
Well, let me make this point clearly and loudly, metaphorically. 80% of the major amputations in diabetes follow ulcers, and therefore they can be prevented. And it is a great sadness and tragedy that they are not being prevented. And it is at great personal and economic cost. The situation is essentially one of an underlying nerve damage, vessel damage, and that leads to infection and gangrene. And these are the main causes of the amputation. It's the three great what we call pathologies or problems of nerve damage, vessel damage, and infection, which come together in the foot and lead to this susceptibility to amputation. The risk is high, and the stigma is often very high, but in no way should people living with diabetes have any sense of guilt that these complications have developed. They are part of the natural history of diabetes, and they must be tackled by the healthcare system. And we have to develop systems which can break through and conquer this natural history. Finally, it is the intention of the ideal group to press for a campaign for a 50% reduction in the number of major amputations. This has been achieved in local economies, health economies, in diabetic foot clinics, but has never been achieved on a population basis. And this has led to a postcode lottery in the availability of healthcare and the number of major amputations. There is a sevenfold variation throughout England in the number of major amputations being carried out, and this cannot be right. So it is the aim of the ideal group to press for a campaign for education of people living with diabetes, to spot early problems, to educate healthcare professionals to be aware of these healthcare problems, and to support the expansion of the multidisciplinary diabetic foot clinics. The key is early diagnosis and early access to clinics that can help people living with diabetes. And if this is achieved, 50% of the major amputations should be prevented. And this will not only reduce the personal tragedy for people living with diabetes, but will also save money. The cost of diabetic foot care has been reckoned at £1 billion. And there would certainly be a saving if we could reduce the number of major amputations by 50%.
It is a silent pandemic. Foot problem in diabetes is a big problem. And it's a big problem because people that live with diabetes often do not take it as serious as you would want them to. And healthcare professionals often forget to check their feet or postpone checking their feet or assume people living with diabetes will report foot problems when they have them. So yes, if we can actually put this measure in to make sure that everyone across the board are well-trained, well-informed about foot problems and how to identify them before they become more complex and how to manage the simple foot issues, I think that would definitely more than half the foot amputation problems that we have across the nations.
And for people, for healthcare professionals, can you explain why a standardised NHS evidence of provision and treatment would reduce a postcode lottery of care?
Yeah, definitely. It would reduce the postcode lottery of care for a very simple reason. Everyone gets the same fair treatment. Everyone gets the same fair access to care. And I think that is the most important thing. The NHS stands for equity. It stands for fairness for everyone, where you get treatment regardless of your creed, regardless of your education, regardless of your wealth, you get the same treatment. And that's what we are proud of in the NHS. So standardizing the services provision is just what we're meant to do. It's not an option, it's what we're meant to do. I think for healthcare professionals, it makes it a lot easier for us to know that we have a service and system in place that's streamlined, that's equal and the same across the nation, and then we can actually serve our populations of people living with diabetes equally across the nation.
We know compared to countries like Belgium, we have much higher amputation rates. I think we're three times more, we're amputating three times more These are major amputations. So these are really life transforming amputations where, you know, below the knee, for example, where people have, you know, become dependent on social services. And, you know, they often have a long and troubled rehabilitation. And so one could hope that we could see dramatic reductions in amputation. And we can, even if we look around the UK, we can see there's variation of 2 to 3-fold between regions. So there's clearly a lot of work to be done.
At the current time, obviously, we're living in a season with a coronavirus, and people might be put off coming forward. And I think this is something true of people with maybe with a foot issue anyway. They might think it's something trivial. Why and how should they pursue something that they might not be sure about?
Well, I think they need to understand the importance. If they've got active foot disease, if they're getting pain, redness, there is a discharge or oozing from their foot, then they really do need to be assessed very promptly. Yes, we live in a time of COVID, but we do know that amputations, for example, in Italy increased in people who are living with diabetes during COVID. And again, that's been put down to a delay in presentation. We know other serious health conditions like heart attacks and strokes have been presenting very late. And for exactly the same reasons, they need to present early. So I would encourage anybody who is concerned about their foot and they've got diabetes to act now. Yes, COVID is important, and yes, we're anxious about COVID, but we're more anxious that people don't present timely with foot disease, because if they don't, you know, there may be serious health consequences, and the window of opportunity is small. People need to present early in that window so they can come out with the best outcomes possible. If you present early, you might be in and out of the service quite quickly. If you've got an amputation, you could be in the ward for a long period of time. So, yeah, just come forward and get sorted.
I would say that I think it's about time for us as healthcare professionals to ensure that if we truly believe that people living with diabetes are the experts in their care, that we need to start empowering the people living with diabetes to look after their foot as well. I believe that's where the act now comes into focus. It's not just for healthcare professionals, but for people living with diabetes, and for the healthcare profession to work collaboratively with the person living with diabetes to ensure that they understand those acronyms and acts now, and empower them with the ability to self-refer when needed, which is part of the document we've put out there, and also to be able to get access straight away into services that will help them with the foot problem rather than the delay, and so they don't become too ambivalent with foot problems. It's so very important that we bring in the community service pharmacy into the pathway of referral across all diabetes specialist issues. And this is because community pharmacy has a higher contact and a better contact with people living with diabetes, and the population is large, and they can, if given the empowerment both financially and skills-wise, be able to identify simple foot problems and then reduce that delay to refer people with living with diabetes with foot problems straight into specialist services. And I think we need to start working as a team across the board, and that's what the PCN service is here for, to ensure that everyone in primary care is working hand-in-hand to ensure that our population get the best care without delay, and as I said earlier, we save time, we save feet.
Education is a major recommendation of the report, and Phillips explains.
For the National Education Programme, I think that's a 360-degrees programme. It's for healthcare professionals, so they understand to escalate care when people need it, but for also for everybody with diabetes, whatever stage of their diabetes journey, that they know and recognise when to seek help. And in particular, if somebody has already had an ulcer, that they recognise the importance of early escalation and self-referral. I think one of the problems is that people don't understand unless they've had exposure to education and updating. I was speaking to a colleague recently who had assessed someone's foot on a Friday afternoon and had rung for help because he felt it was urgent to be told that this person would be seen on Monday morning. And of course, that's too late if it's an emergency with someone with diabetes with potential for infection. And the urgency wasn't there from the hospital. So the practitioner in primary care himself didn't know how to respond to this because he thought that was normal. He'd actually dealt with it. And then when he realised he hadn't, he'd had to escalate the care. So I think one of the problems is we're not joined up in our thinking about diabetes care and diabetes foot problems enough. And without the education there and without the understanding, people unfortunately will be missed.
Yeah.
Certainly we know speed is of the essence with diabetic foot disease. So if someone has active foot disease, they need to be presenting early. So some of that is about education. So it's education from multiple sources, not just from the podiatrist, but from the healthcare professionals who are involved, be it a GP, a diabetes specialist nurse or an endocrinologist, or for that matter, our healthcare assistants. So I suppose first making sure people are educated. And then when they do present, it needs to be seen as an important thing that they're assessed promptly, that there's no delay in them presenting to primary care, for example. Often we're under a lot of pressure, so we have to prioritise. This is a priority. So they're seen promptly. And if indeed they do have active foot disease, they are referred the same day to a multidisciplinary foot clinic. So from a primary care perspective, I suppose, to summarise, it's education at every opportunity and repeated education, people forget, of the person living with diabetes. But also there's education needs in terms of primary care, so we understand the importance and obviously have a vehicle where we can refer promptly without too many barriers into the multidisciplinary foot clinic locally.
In addition, IDEAL is noting evidence of a significant reduction in undergraduates coming through into podiatry.
The main gatekeeper of the multidisciplinary foot clinics in the UK is the podiatrist. And we note at present that there has been a 38% reduction in the number of undergraduates entering the podiatry courses. This is partly related to the removal of bursary funding in 2017. People entering the podiatry profession are often mature candidates and previously benefited from special bursary funding. This has been removed. The number of undergraduates in England has reduced by 38%, and there are great fears in the succession planning for podiatrists, who are absolutely crucial in the care of the person with diabetes and foot problems. This has been noted with concern by the College of Podiatry and the Council of Deans of Health, and they have put forward that there should be a restoration of the maintenance grant and a full payment of tuition fees.
Less people are training as podiatrists. It's an awfully expensive way to go through university when you previously had a bursary and then you've now having to rely on student loans. There are re-establishment of some level of bursaries coming back into podiatry in the future, but it isn't the full bursary as used to be in place, and it's the same for nursing as well.
Can you explain what a national education programme for all people, healthcare professionals working with people living with diabetes would involve and why it's so important?
Establishment of a national education programme that ideally would be accessible, would be free to engage with, but also would be provided in a timely manner, and certainly in the current environment be available online, would be fundamental for provision of diabetes care. So ensuring that every practice nurse, every district nurse, every practitioner, every staff nurse and healthcare professional working in the acute care sector would understand the fundamentals of providing good diabetes care that's evidence-based. And that way practice moves forward, that way appropriate referrals can occur, but also that the holistic approach of the whole body and the whole person in a person-centred, individualised way can be delivered rather than rote learning off a tick list.
And why are you calling for a regular audit to assess the impact of services and a call for professional bodies to review the annual data from NHS England and national diabetes audits?
Regular audit is really important because you need to be able to evidence an effect of an intervention. So ideally you would do a pre-intervention audit and also the audit after the intervention, much as you do within a research trial, to be able to test the efficaciousness of that particular intervention. We need to know that whatever we provide, and particularly with ACT Now, and if we could provide evidence of earlier and more effective referrals, then the impact of how many people were seen, you know, how quickly any ulceration was dealt with and how many amputations were avoided, could provide the evidence to release more funding, more training opportunities, and really create this to be the national campaign we want it to be.
Practice nurses are part of the front line of healthcare professionals when it comes to foot health. I spoke to Jane Diggle, a practice nurse based in West Yorkshire, who's had a special interest in diabetes for over 20 years. She's also co-vice chair of the Primary Care Diabetes Society Committee and associate editor-in-chief of the Diabetes and Primary Care Journal.
So a foot examination where we check the skin, circulation and nerve supply of the legs and feet is one of the 9 care processes that everybody with diabetes over the age of 12 should receive at least once a year. And often these care processes are undertaken by a practice nurse, including that foot examination. Although interestingly, practice healthcare assistants are increasingly taking on the role. So the physical examination element of it is really important, where we check foot pulses, we assess the circulation and we check the person's sensation. We look for any foot deformities, pressure points, that kind of thing, any signs of infection and so on. But it's actually also a really important opportunity for education. So it's about making sure that the person with diabetes is also aware of potential dangers, particularly if there's a loss of sensation. So we encourage them to check their feet every day, because I think, you know, a review with a practice nurse once a year is not enough. So they need to be checking their own feet every day or having a carer do that, and really just looking for any changes. Also, the education is around trying to help them maintain good blood glucose control. stop smoking, those sorts of things. And I think really importantly, it's about when to seek advice, who to contact and how they do that. Obviously, we're also assessing the person's risk status, which is then going to guide us in terms of referrals for routine podiatry services. But of course, if somebody's presenting with a problem that's acute and needs urgent intervention, then obviously we're going to have to take a different course of action.
And are practice nurses properly trained to fulfil this role?
Do you know what? I think this is an area where practice nurses are not feeling very confident. And I read an article a couple of years ago, actually, that was published in the Nursing Times, and it reported on a small survey. So it was only 46 practice nurses, and 76% of them were performing foot examinations. But actually, 80% of them didn't feel confident about doing it. So I think that really does raise the question of whether the current training is fit for purpose, really. And I do sometimes wonder, whilst nurses nurses may know how to do the examination, I'm not always sure they're certain about how they act on the results.
I think that's something that's evident in the IDEAL paper, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
And there are unacceptable delays.
And I think the other thing...
Go on then.
Yeah, I was going to say, the thing about the training is, you know, if somebody's had, one training programme that may have been many years ago, I think that's an issue. I think it needs to be updated. And I like the idea in the position statement that they talked about regular updates and almost making it mandatory training.
And this can lead to unacceptable delays in people with a foot problem being seen in a timely fashion by the right person. In your experience, why does this happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think getting an appointment, obviously, with a GP or a practice nurse can be a challenge, especially at this current time during the COVID-19 pandemic. But I think the other thing we need to think about is our reception staff, because obviously they need to know that if somebody with diabetes has got concerns about a foot problem, it isn't acceptable that they wait for several days. So I think they have to have a lower threshold for actually contacting the clinician and saying, look, we have somebody who's concerned, can you review this? So I think it has to start at the very beginning, because almost like the reception staff are gatekeepers, really, to the clinicians. So I think that's really important. I mean, I think the other thing, of course, is that healthcare professionals need to recognise the potential dangers. And I think they also need to be clear about the pathways that they follow in order to get the person seen by, a foot protection team or specialist. So, you know, the pathways need to be really simple and easy to follow. I do sometimes wonder whether healthcare professionals are reluctant to refer because they're fearful that the request is going to be rejected or criticised for being inappropriate. So I think we definitely need more clarity over what warrants urgent referral. Certainly where I work, we've got an e-referral facility. However, if it's an urgent problem, to be honest, I always pick up the phone because I think it's good to speak to somebody as well and alert them to the fact that this e-referral is coming through. Certainly if I want somebody to be seen, you know, within 24, 48 hours.
I think, yeah, sometimes getting the person living with diabetes to accept that it might be an emergency and conveying that, and rather than playing it down.
Absolutely. And that's so important as part of that. You know, the foot examination that I was talking about, it's not just examining a person's foot. It's making sure that they understand the dangers. And I think we need to back that up with information as well. So written information or signposting to, resources that are useful for people with diabetes too. I think that's been even more of a challenge over recent months because of maybe reducing the number of people that we're seeing face to face in practices. So we're relying much more on technology. And I mean, in a way, I think that's been a good thing because I think it's made our safety netting really come to the forefront. So making sure that we are sending information to people. So after, for example, a telephone consultation, backing that up with links to educational material, which I think is really important.
And any additional challenges during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because we most practices suspended their routine reviews. So that's had a huge impact because we've got a huge backlog to catch up on. So many people will have had their annual review deferred. And I think we're at the stage now where we're trying to reinstate those services. And that's involving some sort of risk stratification. So trying to determine those people who are going to benefit most from an early review. And there's obviously been a lot of focus around the increased risk from COVID-19, but obviously diabetes related complications, including foot problems, haven't gone away. So we do need to be very mindful of prioritising those people too. Obviously, a lot of what we do in our diabetes reviews does require a face-to-face consultation. And obviously, it's a challenge to do a foot examination remotely. Having said that, over recent months, what we have done in our practice is ask some individuals to complete a pre-review questionnaire. So the idea being that we can obtain some measurements at home and reduce the amount of time someone may have to come into a surgery. One of the things I incorporated was a link to Touch the Toes test, which is an initiative that Diabetes UK have been running on their website, and it's something that provides guidance and also a useful video on how a person can actually test their own sensation at home. So that's I found that quite useful. What we've also got is an excellent template on our computer system, which will kind of guide the clinicians to ask the right type of questions in order to identify foot problems. So those are just a couple of things that, you know, we've been doing. Obviously mentioned information for people and educational leaflets. I've recently become aware actually of the DRWF leaflets, which can be downloaded. An excellent foot leaflet there, and I also like the audio information that's available too.
And how do you think the ideal position statement will address some of these issues?
I think the position statement identifies a lot of the issues that I've raised here, a lot of the problems. So the lack of understanding, the complex referral pathways and poor training or inadequate training. So I think it addresses a lot of those issues. I also particularly like the raising awareness campaign. So the Act Now campaign, which reminded me very much of, you know, campaigns that have been used to highlight stroke, you know, like the FAST campaign. So I think that is really good. I also really like this idea of a self-referral. I think that would be really important for people because it gives them access, easier access, really. So that problem of trying to get to see their GP, if they were able to self-refer, I think that would be fantastic. And I think it also sort of hands back some of the responsibility to the person living with diabetes, which again is so important.
Yeah. And the idea of the multidisciplinary foot care teams as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those people are there. It's just being able to access them, I think, is the difficulty. So I think there's a lot of awareness raising that needs to take place and simplifying pathways.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this idea of the sort of mandatory training is a really interesting one because we do quite a lot of, you know, annual mandatory training updates. And it strikes me that certainly for people dealing with diabetes, and I would include sort of allied staff there as well, so go back to our reception staff, I think it's really important to reinforce those key messages. And I think regular updates in foot care assessment for people with diabetes is really important.
Practice nurse Jane Diggle. And picking up on that point, a lot of our guests in this podcast support the IDEAL paper, and the next step is to share and implement its findings, a point emphasised by GP Dr Patrick Holmes.
So I would encourage any policy or senior decision maker to look at the IDEAL paper in diabetes and foot assessment and referral. We've got Prior Mike Edmonds, who is a world-renowned knowledge and expert when it comes to diabetic foot disease, working out at the Centre of Excellence at King's College. In addition to that, we've got a wide variety of people who've contributed to it. There's several people who are living with diabetes have contributed to this, as well as a variety of healthcare professionals. So it's a real opportunity to see a well-formed document helping improve such an important area of diabetes care.
Information needs to be made available and easily accessed. There's no point in just having it sitting on a shelf that gets randomly accessed on Google. We need these podcasts are great because they're accessible to everybody, and the world of, you know, digital access and digital working is upon us, and it's working very well. It's working really well. So I think digital access means people can access things from wherever they are, whenever they want. And that just makes things so much easier.
And that final comment from IDEAL Chair John Grummett brings us to the end of this edition of DRWF's Podcast Pro. Our thanks to IDEAL and all the guests who participated. We welcome your feedback and any ideas you may have for future podcasts. Please email us via the contact form on our website, drwf.org.uk. DRWF produces a consumer podcast called Living with Diabetes, which you may also find of interest. It's available via our website in the News and Events section and on many major podcast platforms such as Spotify, Apple and Google. This is Claire Levy. Thanks for listening.
DRWF's Podcast Pro has been a Blue Aurora Media production.